1 degree for the low. I said on my phone by the beginning of next week. I was just in New York last week, and snowed every day up in Buffalo, and snowed every day. And I thought it was something. I said, man, we'd be closing down everything at home. They said, this ain't snow. It isn't snow until you can't see when it's coming down. So I was glad to get back home. I was in South Texas for 2 weeks in the 80s, and I sent pictures back to my pastor at the week's weather, and it was 75 and 80. Then I sent him last week in New York, and he said it was judgment of the Lord. So I'm heading to Florida next week. Amen. Don't have any meetings. No, I'm just kidding. Have your Bibles. Let me just say before we read, I appreciate your prayers for Emma. She is doing well. She's home. Came home December the 14th, I believe. They were in the hospital for almost 12 weeks. And thank the Lord for the progress she's made. She's about 3 to 4 inches straighter. And they put a rod in her back, and that maintains the correction. And then as she grows, 6 to 9 months, as she grows, we'll go in for a procedure where they actually will do a little incision, and they will actually lengthen the rods. These are growing rods, and they will lengthen those rods until, you know, they feel like that she's reached her peak and growing. So the prayers of God's people have made the difference. And you that are going through things now, you understand that, I'm sure. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. I'm 45 years old, and I'm starting to have to lean my head back to see these words. My wife said I should go ahead and wear glasses when I read at home, but I hadn't gotten that courageous yet to bring them out to church. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5 is our text. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. We'll end our reading there this evening. I want us to look at that thought. Tonight will be on the night. Just a few moments, I want to preach about the night. We're informed in the text here that God called darkness night. I remember as a boy in South Africa, we'd be out there in the village, coming home from the village, and not a light for miles and miles around, and it was extremely dark. Kind of felt like those Egyptians must have felt when God put the darkness during the plagues. And the truth of the matter is, Brother Griffiths already indicated, ever since the sun left this earth, it's been growing darker and darker. The Son of God, ever since He left this earth. I want to give you 3 or 4 things tonight about darkness. I want you to notice, first of all, what I would call the depravity through the night. Depravity through the night. Notice the darkness of the night. You see, like the moon, it's just a reflection of the sun. It has no light. And really, darkness is a reflection of men's heart. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17, in verse 9, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? The truth of the matter is, man's heart is just that way. Man's heart is completely dark. It's just like the night. It's naturally dark. Do you know that darkness is natural? You don't have to create darkness. If you cut these lights off, it naturally grows dark. You don't go to somewhere and they create something for you to get darkness. It is natural, and such is the heart of man. man is naturally dark. And you know that there's no amount of money that can buy him light spiritually. There's no amount of education that can instruct him out of his darkness. There's no amount of fame that can rise him out of the dark pit that he is born in. There's no amount of religion to make him morally good enough to walk out of darkness. You know what's wrong with our world tonight? What's wrong with our world tonight is not who's in charge politically. It's not about the legislations that's being passed. Actually, they're not even passing legislations now, are they? They're just sitting there writing them down. But nonetheless, we won't go down that road. I tell you, the problem with our world tonight is they are living in darkness and they do not want the light. Jesus is the light. He says that, didn't he? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see the depravity of the night. We see the darkness of the night. Then secondly, notice the dangers in the night. You know, I'm the kind of person, I don't like really to go out at night. My wife said she married an old man. I figure when God cuts the lights off, it's time to go inside. I'm just not one to go out very much at night. I enjoy fellowshipping, I enjoy coming to church and going out to eat after that. But other than church relations, I really don't go out much at night. Not a lot of good things happen at night. You go through the Bible, you'll find in Psalms 91 and verse 5, David talks about the terrors of the night. In Daniel 5 and verse 30, Belteshazzar was slain in the night. In Obadiah 1 and verse 5, you read about thieves and robbers at night. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, Paul references the Lord's coming as a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7, Paul talks to those who are drunk and they are drunk in the night. And even more recently, our minds will go that in time, just a few months ago, that a lot of the rioting and burning and the looting and all of those things that happen mostly at night. You see, this spiritual darkness, this night we find ourselves in tonight in this world, men's hearts are growing darker and darker and darker. But I am thankful tonight for what Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, the good thing tonight is, though you may sit in darkness, we were singing earlier, only a sinner. That sinner sits in darkness. That sinner's born in darkness. That sinner, the Bible said, gropes in darkness. He looks at the religion and it does not give him help. He looks to good works and they do not satisfy. He gets in certain vices and they do not bring fulfillment. But I'm thankful tonight that, as Brother Gripper said, there is a friend. And that friend can bring you out of that darkness into His marvelous light. The darkness through the night. Then notice the dilemmas in the night. The dilemmas of the night. You see, we find ourselves in some problems when you deal with night. You know, night hinders sight, doesn't it? You just can't see like you used to in the night. There are some people that they're not here tonight because they really can't drive good at night. And, you know, I remember a couple years ago, every January, we're down in South Texas, right near Mexico in Harlingen, Texas. Past couple years, I went to Australia, would have been tomorrow. So I like to get home as soon as I can. So we'll leave after church and we'll drive, it's about 20 hours, drive all the way home. Of course, by 9:30 or 10 o'clock, everybody's conked out in the van. And I'm sitting there driving all the way, eating combos and chewing ice, drinking coffee. That's how I stay awake. But you get down there in what they call the valley of South Texas, between Harlingen and Kingsville and Corpus, and then you're going up into Houston. It's a little different than a lot of Texas. There are a lot of deer down in that part of the country, and they're just grazing like cattle. And, man, you start seeing deer, and, man, you're seeing 10, 15, 12. I'm tensed all through that part. Everything I see looks like a deer. And you've been in West Virginia. You know how that is. Everything you see, because it's nighttime. Nighttime hinders your sight. You have a hard time seeing. I'm telling you, we live in a world today that's spiritually darkness. And people are losing sight of the promises of God. God's people are losing sight. Not only does night hinder hinder sight, but night holds back service. You know, if you're doing something outside and that service calls for the sunlight, when the sun begins to go down, you have to quit. You know, it's frustrating when you go to a business and they don't do business after certain hours of nighttime. Darkness seems to bring about a lack of service. We find ourselves in that, spiritually speaking, today. Not only does darkness hold back service and darkness will hinder sight, but let me dwell for just a moment on nighttime. Nighttime hampers spirits. Nighttime sometimes can hamper your spirit. Sometimes nighttime can bring depression, sadness, can bring weeping. David talks about weeping through the night. Studying about this nighttime and looking at things, they say that most of the suicides occur at nighttime. Nighttime can bring about sadness. Job talked about wishing for the night, then at night wishing for the day. Boy, when you go through night seasons of life, it can bring about sadness. You go through the dark times in life. But I want you to look at, thirdly, the developer of the night. We read about the creator of night right here. God said, the darkness He called night. See, it's not something that occurred by accident, but God created the night. Now, me personally, I enjoy the sunshine. I enjoy the cloudless days. I enjoy when everything is bright and sunny. I enjoy when things are going good. But the fact of the matter is that there is nighttime, spiritually speaking, in our life. There's nighttime. Some may even be going through nighttime in their life tonight. Things aren't going the way that you have wanted them to go or had been anticipating them going or have been not going the way they've been going in a good way. God created night. You know why God created night? Let me give you three reasons. Night is for rest. You see, our bodies naturally tend to rest better at night. I know there are some that experience insomnia and can't rest good. I got relatives like that, but naturally speaking, God created our bodies to rest at night. You know the truth of it is, I hate to say it, but the truth of it is, we really don't rest in the Lord until the night seasons in our life begin to creep. I mean, we really don't rest on Him like this man in Luke 11. He didn't really bother his friend until he was in a dilemma. Until things begin to implode. Until the night seasons begin to come in his life. You know, night in our lives, spiritually speaking, or emotionally speaking, is to bring us to a place of resting in the Lord. God, I don't understand why God does the things that He does. I mean, I can't explain why God would let this happen to this one and not to that one. I don't know why God will bring this problem in your life at this particular time. I cannot explain that to you, but I can say this. There is a purpose. We may never know the reason. I know they seem, we'll talk it over in the by and by. It ain't going to matter a hill of beans in the by and by. But the truth
comes that there are night times, and all that night time in our life is to bring us to rest. Paul said this in Acts 27. He said, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul." I mean, Paul was experiencing a literal night as well as a dilemma in his life. He was in that boat and it was rocking to and fro. And he said, "Tonight, fellas, when you were worried and you were discouraged and fearful, there stood somebody by me tonight that said, there's no need to fear. You can rest in me." Night is for rest. And then night is also for refreshment. See, no matter how long a hard day is, a good night's sleep brings about refreshment. You may went through the hardest 10, 12, 14 hours of labor out in the heat of the day, whether it be manual labor or sitting at a desk and working you mentally, whatever type of physical labor it might have been. Boy, when you come home and you lay in that bed and you have the night comes on and you get rest, it brings about refreshment. During the weariness of the day, during the weariness of the hardships of the night, we can find refreshment in the Lord. Job, if you read through the book of Job, you'll find a few times Job referenced it as night seasons. And in Job 35 and verse 10, he says that God or the Lord gives songs in the night. Songs in the night. There are just some lyrics you can't sing until you went through the night. There's just some tunes that you're unfamiliar with unless you've been through the night. You may know the words and you may know the melody, but you don't have the song until you've been through the night. And there's just some people that went through it and been through it that God's give them some refreshment. That's what Paul talked about in Corinthians. The comfort wherewith we've been comforted. And I tell you what, night is for not only rest and refreshment, but night is for a refocusing. You go through the day. We live in a busy world, don't we? If there's one good thing, Brother Leakley can testify and others may, there's one good thing about leaving America, going to another part of the world. And it almost seems don't matter where you go, you really see how busy lives we live here in America. It's almost like you step back in time, like you put pause on life. We live in a busy world. Everybody's running here, there, and yonder. I mean, driving down here, I hope this ain't live stream. I was in a hurry. You know, you can go 80 miles an hour and somebody's going to pass you. I won't say how fast you can go and somebody still passes you, but I'll say 80. Everybody's in a hurry, aren't they? Nighttime brings about a time of refocusing. You know, what's the old saying? Let me sleep on it. You know why they want to sleep on it? They're able to get their minds, you know, they get rest and kind of gives them a whole new avenue to travel down. You know, nighttime in our life is so we can refocus, reevaluate some things. Look at some things. Maybe God will give us a different perspective when we go through the night. Or you can really tell a difference between somebody that's been through the night. My oldest brother, Brother Jesse, and Brother Lowe knows him. I've told this story before, I'm sure, but pastors in Virginia still. John met his wife when he was at Tabernacle in South Carolina at Bible school. Of course, they got married, young and in love and living the dream. Went and started being the assistant pastor at a little church, or good-sized church actually, in South Carolina. And then through a process of providence, God led him to where he's at today. Him and his wife and two daughters
pastor. He's pastoring that church, and she's helping him in the school. Church was doing okay, but just going as it always has been. I don't know how many years it would have been, but it was maybe a half a dozen. She was at Walmart with her husband, my brother, and she said, "John, I can't see that sign there. It's a little blurry." So took her to the optometrist there in Walmart, matter of fact, and they looked at her and they said, "Really, you need to see a specialist." And long and short, she went to Richmond, Virginia. They did immediate laser surgery right then, and when they left, she was completely blind. She stayed completely blind. They tried different surgeries in different ways, but she never regained her sight. Seemed like the sun was setting in that home, and it stayed like that for years. She lost fingers. Lost toes, and then feet, and then legs. Completely blind. He'd have to pick her up, put her in the bathtub, comb her hair, do her makeup. The church, and he was going through night seasons. Then she passed away unexpectedly. I tell you, he went through a long night season. You know, the Bible doesn't end with just this. This is the first book of the Bible, isn't it? The first chapter and the fifth verse. Turn, if you will, to the last book of our Bible, to the last chapter, and look at the fifth verse. The Bible says, in the last chapter of the last book, in the fifth verse, "And there shall be no night." You see, we see all the discouragements and things of the night, all of the depravity and the dilemma of the night. I want you to look at the deletion of the night. There's coming a night that will be the last night. There's coming a night that there'll be no more night. You know, the day I was sitting at the airport and made a phone call. They didn't answer and they called me back. It was a man. Lives in Middle Tennessee. Good friend of mine. 2 months ago, he has 4 sons and 2 or 3 daughters. Two months ago, one of his sons, young, passed away in a bad situation. They buried that boy. 2 months to the day, which would have been, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday of this week, another son had a fatal car wreck. When I answered the phone, he said, "Brother Buster," and then that was it. I mean, he just broke and began to cry. And he said, "I don't know what we're going to do." He said, "If God don't do something," he said, "my wife is a basket case." He said, "They wouldn't let me get to my son at the wreck. They called me to the wreck. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law was there." He said, "They held me back from seeing him." He said, "And Sunday or Saturday, it'll be 2 months. And I'll look down in a casket and see another one of my children. The next time I see him, I'll be in a casket." See, that's nice. What can you say to a man like that? All I could tell him is, "Brother, Revelation 22:5 says there'll be no night there. There is coming a day when there'll be no night." You know, I remember as a boy when we would go see my grandma and my grandfather. They lived in South Carolina, and we lived in Lynchburg, Virginia at this time. And two of my brothers and myself and mom and dad, it was a big ordeal. We had a big old Buick, 4-door Buick. I mean, from the from the hood emblem to the back of the trunk, it was two different zip codes. And the big old thing was huge. And I remember we were loading a trunk, and John and Frank were seeing how Dad was in there loading the trunk, and they wanted to see how close they could get the trunk to his head without hitting it. When they went down, and he would stop it, and they didn't know he was about to come up. I mean, it's an ordeal. We'd get in that car, and we'd travel, seemed like 100 years, and Daddy could, he always kept a switch. Some kids today, they don't know what a switch was. I was saying that at Brother Jerry Siler's, and a kid came up to me and said, "How did your dad whip you with a switch?" And he did his hand like that, like a light switch. I said, "I knew why he didn't know what a switch was. Daddy had a switch. I'm not joking now. It would go from one of the windows all the way across the dashboard to the other window. And he could whip you and drive with the same hand. The bad part was, I was the smallest, still am, but they would always use me as a shield. They could manipulate me and push me where they wanted to go. We'd travel and we'd go and we'd beg to get something to eat, and after promising 130 exits to go, he'd finally pull off and we'd get something. Of course, back then, we still don't, but then we really didn't have much money. My middle brother, Frank, he would go up to the register and whisper his order because he knew that if Daddy knew what he's getting, it wasn't going to happen. He'd whisper. It was an ordeal. But I remember when we drive into that, she had a pretty good sized piece of land, and we drive in through the woods and come up to her house, she'd be standing at the screen door looking. Didn't have cell phones back then. You know, you couldn't share your estimated time of arrival. She knew about the time we should be getting there, and she stood at that screen door so long, the impression of the screen would be on the tip of her nose. We go into that house, and Granny could cook. She'd have, y'all may not like this, but y'all call it grits. We call it Georgia ice cream. But nonetheless, she'd have grits out there, and fried bologna, and sausage, and she'd have biscuits and gravy, and fresh tomatoes, and cucumbers. Fried eggs, we'd travel through the night, and it was in the morning. She'd have a big old spread out there. You know what we'd do? We'd look at each other and we'd say, "Boy, the trip wasn't all that bad after all, was it?" I mean, it really wasn't all that hard if you look at all that we're getting to enjoy, the benefits we're having, the meal we're eating. You know, the whippings weren't all that bad. The chastisement wasn't all that hard. The distance wasn't all that long. Being able to be at Granny's house took care of all of it. I'm going to tell you, beloved, tonight, you may be in a night season, and if you're not, you will be eventually. And that night may seem to be long, and it very well may could be. But praise God, there is coming a day. And there's coming a day where there will be no nights. There'll be no more cemeteries. There'll be no more divorce courts. There'll be no more broken homes. There'll be no more broken churches. There'll be no more physical ailments. There'll be no more doctor visits. There'll be no more hospital stays. There'll be no more discouraging news. Thank God He'll drop the nighttime and the sun will forever shine. There'll be no more night in that land one day. And we'll look back and we'll say, "You know what? Wasn't all that bad, was it? In a land where there is no night." I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if you're here without Christ, there is no light outside of the Lord Jesus. Inside your heart is dark. The only way to get rid of that darkness is salvation through Jesus Christ. He can save you if you'll just come and trust Him. Will you bow your heads?